When it comes to romantic relationships, a lot of people see certain attributes as non-starters, as things that they just can't accept in a potential partner. The TV show 30 Rock popularized the term deal breakers, and earlier those deal breakers were key plot items in the TV show Seinfeld.
She eats her peas one at a time.
She just took credit for my salad.
She's too tan.
She's too good.
She wasn't my type.
These deal breakers aren't just a part of life on sitcoms, though. Consciously or not, a lot of people apply these filters to potential love interests. And our next guest has written about new research into these deal breakers.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. If you're in the dating world right now, or if you have been in the past, do you have a deal breaker or two that maybe you could share with us? Or have you ever bent the rules and looked past that negative quality? How do things work out? Call 800-642-1234.
Elizabeth Bernstein joins us now. She's a columnist at the Wall Street Journal, where she writes the Bonds column on relationships. Elizabeth, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So for the purposes of the research you're looking at, what is a deal breaker?
It's something that the person who's looking for a mate sees in the other person. It's really something negative. You know, so I look and something that I think is negative that I can't deal with. That's a deal breaker.
And how did researchers look at the impact of these deal breakers?
How did you say?
Yeah, what kinds of things did they look at?
Oh, so they looked at whether deal breakers were more important to the person than the deal makers, things that are positive, the positive traits in a potential mate. And they found that they were. So the people are paying more attention to the negatives than the positives when they're looking for, when they're dating and looking to meet somebody. And they also looked at what were the deal breakers, whether men and women had the same deal breakers. And across the board, they did mostly, but there were some striking differences. So that's what they looked at.
So what are some of those most common deal breakers that people reported having?
Well, the most common for both men and women, the first one was disheveled appearance, somebody who's sloppy. So nobody wanted that. And the next one was lazy. Nobody wanted lazy either. So if you're a lazy slob, you're out. But that was universal for everybody. And that's for long-term relationships. So something that was interesting is the researchers also looked at long-term relationships and people looking for short-term relationships, maybe just a hookup, and were they different? And for the short-term relationships, the bar was very, very low. If you basically had personal hygiene, you were good to go.
Right. I like the one researcher who says, all you need is a toothbrush and you're okay. For the short term, anyway.
That's right. For the short term. For the long term, the bar got much higher, thankfully.
And were there differences between men and women when it came to these things about what they cared about?
There were. There were some funny ones. Men didn't care at all if a woman watched too much TV or played too many video games. They didn't care. The women did. The women said that's a deal breaker for us. Similarly, the men, women did not want needy men. So they said needy was a deal breaker, the women. And the men said, that's fine, okay, you could be needy, which I thought was interesting. And then when it came to sex, there was a difference. So the men said low sex drive was a deal breaker for them, but the women said that bad sex was a deal breaker for them. So a little difference there.
So were there differences between, not just between genders of the respondents, but age? Do deal breakers change depending on if you're young or if maybe you're back in the dating pool after, you know, more life experience?
Well, the researchers didn't look at that, but I got a lot of letters after this article ran. And just, you know, I would say anecdotally, yes, your deal breakers change because when you're back in the dating pool, first of all, you know what's really important. So maybe when you're 20, you're in college and you're looking, what you're looking for might be different. But, you know, when you've been through the ringer and if you're back in the dating pool, yes, you're going to be looking for more serious things. You're going to know what the real true red flags are.
We're talking with Elizabeth Bernstein right now, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. She writes the Bonds column there, and she wrote recently about deal breakers. These are things which all bets are off if this person has a certain quality. Maybe it's being disheveled or having poor hygiene. Maybe they're lazy. What is your deal breaker? You can call us now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And I suppose the thing about these deal breakers, Elizabeth, is that they're filters. They allow you to filter out people who have qualities that are just not going to work for you. Did it seem like they worked that way, that when people did engage these filters, these deal breakers, that they ended up with better partners?
You know, they do. That's the idea. And there's an evolutionary reason behind it. You know, we're filtering out things that might not work for us. You know, say, for example, religion might be important to one person. So they know that if someone is not religious or is a different religion, that might be very important to them, an important deal breaker. But also, from an evolutionary standpoint, the negatives loom more strongly. They're more dangerous than the positive. So if someone was too lazy to go out and kill a mastodon, you could possibly starve to death from that. So they might be a nice person, but you really, throughout our human history, we've had to pay close attention to the negative. And so researchers think that that's what's going on here.
So it's funny, Elizabeth, that you said, you know, for some people, like, religion would be a deal breaker. And I have to say, when I first heard, you know, the Seinfeld idea aside of what could be a deal breaker with, like, eating peas one at a time, for me, you know, I was thinking more those big, you know, ideological things like religion and politics, not disheveled, you know. So I guess, you know, it's like, should we really be paying attention to deal breaker or treating things like deal breakers when it's something like not tucking your shirt in?
Exactly. I think another one from Seinfeld was man hands. She has man hands, right? So, no, what we want to know, it's a very good question. We want to be clear that we're looking at very good, important deal breakers, that we're looking at ones that are really valuable to us. So, you know, if someone is too lazy to sort of help you support the kids, that's, you know, a big problem for most people. But, you know, man hands or one pee at a time, or, you know, the hair is a little too long or messy. Yes, like, you have to, you know, we all have to take the good with the bad. So we have to learn. And I think that's where older people a little more mature, learn what's important, what's not. You know, I wore the wrong color socks, or a lot of people wrote me and said, hey, I can't stand socks with sandals. Okay, but if that's your deal breaker, you might be missing out on some pretty
I don't know. Have you seen socks and sandals?
Yeah, I have.
All right, let's go to our callers now. We've got Mark on the line in Lake Geneva. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi, what is your deal breaker?
You know, I'm a 52-year-old married man, and I can remember back when I was dating a girl in senior year in high school, freshman year in college, and I knew right away, once I saw her dorm room, freshman year in college, that there's just was absolutely no way that I would end up in a long-term relationship with her. She was very nice and very put together when it comes to personal appearance, but when it came to, and maybe this was just a function of her being a college student, but when it came to kind of keeping a room,
she was too messy for you, Mark. Yeah, is that one that came up off? I can imagine that people have very different standards for how clean their living space is. Is that something that you saw, Elizabeth?
It's it, and that goes into the disheveled. It really is a pretty broad category. So is this person messy? Is this person a slob? You know your own, you know whether you can handle that, whether, you know, I'm super neat and I need somebody super neat. But also, you know, if they're messy, they may not be organized. They may not be able to care for children. They may, you know, there's a lot of things that come with that. If you can't, you know, dust once in a while or clean the dishes, you know, what else can't you handle? That's really the idea behind that one.
Let's go back to the phones, and Gary in Waupaca is up next. Hi, Gary.
Hey, ladies. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Interesting subject. I no more than hopped into my car, pulled out of the driveway, pulled to the side, I got a call. To add the marks, I did old Mark only add tons of cat hair to that whole scenario. I forgot about that one. But the reason I called was, for me, it's somebody who's, almost habitually late. You kind of never know when they're going to show up, you know, could be 10 minutes. You know, do I wait here for an hour and a half? That one was a deal killer. I just had to call it off after consistently being late.
Well, Gary, thanks for that. And Elizabeth, you know, when Gary was saying that about someone who's habitually late, I mean, that could be something that's annoying, but it can also maybe represent something else, like a lack of respect for other people and their time.
Exactly. It's sort of saying to you, hey, does this person value my time? Does this person value me? You know, he or she can't even show up on time. You know, what is more important than this? Because we have plans. So it's exactly that. And I think in that situation, it's a very good marker of a deal breaker.
And for me, I was thinking that for me, when I was dating, a deal breaker for me would have been someone who had no desire to travel. And while that might seem kind of a surfacey thing, as I think about it, what it really represents to me is someone who would not have curiosity about the world and about people and cultures and places that are different from themselves. And so, you know, doesn't want to travel might not seem like a big deal, but for me, it represents something much bigger than that.
Exactly, like a curiosity about the entire world.
Right.
And so, you know, it's fine if you don't have it, but then you might want to be with somebody else who doesn't have it. So that, you know, if you do have it, you want that. So these are true things, and they're important to look at, you know, to know yourself, what you can handle, and also, you know, which ones might represent something else, like always being late or, you know, never being able to, you know, clean your house.
Elizabeth, we've only got a couple of seconds here, but are people still in the market for fixer-uppers?
Maybe young people.
Just young people.
They think that they can fix her up.
Well, Elizabeth, it's been fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist at the Wall Street Journal, where she writes the Bonds column on relationships.